Good evening. This is the KPFK Finance Committee of meeting on December 1st, 2021. This is a continuation meeting of the November 10th meeting. People, would you please mute your microphone? I'm hearing feedback. Okay. My name is Fred Blair. It's currently... that can't be right. My computer clock shows 8:06, and it's 4:06. Well, that's strange. In any case, my name is Fred Blair. I'm the chair of the KPFK Finance Committee. This is a continuation meeting of the November 10th meeting. We have I sent out the final agenda. So I'm the first order of business is the call roll. Hold. Okay, the chair is present. Alan Beek.
Present. Did you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear, Alan. Beth.
Thank you. I'm going mute now.
Thank you. Beth Van Gooten.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Novick.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence Reyes. Okay. Recibio Rivas. Recibio. Okay. Janine Roan. Janine?
Present. Yeah, present.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Thank you, Grace. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Thank you, Ken. Sue Cohen Johnson. Sue. Okay. Raymond Goldstone.
Present.
Somebody's making an awful lot of microphone noise here. I'm trying to. Well, it stopped. Michael Heiss?
Yes, here.
Steve Kaiser? Steve? Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson is present.
Thank you, Dave. King Riley? King? I saw King present on the... Zuri Rideau?
Present.
Thank you, Zuri. Maria Skilton.
Here, and thank you.
Thank you. Ruth Strauss.
Can you never use one of these computer things before?
Okay.
Hello?
Well, I can hear you fine, Ruth.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Are
I'm
you?
Here. Thank you.
Okay. John Wenger.
If you hear me, I'm here.
Yeah. we can all hear you, Ruth. John, I think I heard you say present.
Yeah, I am here.
Thank you.
I gotta find the mute button so I can silence my thing here next.
Thank you. And,
King Riley here.
Thank you, King. I had marked you absent. Okay. And there is a new person. This will be their third meeting. Mike Bresler. Mike, are you present? Well. And General Manager Miguel Quesada. Miguel, are you here? I guess not.
Don okay. Markowitz is here.
Mute your microphone if you're providing feedback. I've got you, Jonathan. You're not. Okay.
Hello?
Yes. Who are you?
Sue Cohen Johnson.
Okay, Sue, I called the roll and you, didn't answer, so I'll mark you now as down as present, okay? Thank you.
Sorry, thank you.
Okay, we definitely have, quorum here. We have 17 present of, 20 people in my, membership list, and we have a couple extra. Jonathan Markowitz. So, there are three absent today. I'm going to call the absent again. Lawrence Reyes. Rucillo. Rivas. Steve Kaiser. Okay. Well, we have quorum, so it's currently 4:13. So we have quorum and we have a meeting. I believe the last meeting left off on agenda item.
James, may I be recognized?
Who's speaking?
This is James. I'm asking to be recognized.
James Sargerton.
James Sargerton. I just wanted you to know and everyone else to know that I'm here.
Thank you.
Also attending on your guest, line.
Thank you, James, for attending and, letting us know that you're here.
Yeah, and it's Bruce Greif. I'd like to be considered for membership.
Again, you're Bruce, what's your, could you tell me, you're Bruce,
Greif. If this is the wrong time to say this, I apologize.
Okay. Thank you. Bruce, could you send me an email, with your email, and, the proper spelling of your name?
Yeah, for sure.
My email address is fred.b.blair@gmail. And if you do that,
great.
I'll add you to our email list. Thank you.
Great.
Is there anybody else that would like to potentially be a member or be noticed?
Jonathan Markowitz, I am currently a member as of last Finance Committee meeting.
Jonathan, I recognize that. I'm sorry, I didn't. Somehow, you're not on my spreadsheet. I will remedy that. Thank you. So we have quorum. We have a meeting. The first order of business is. To take up where we, since this is a continuation meeting, I'm trying to bring up my agenda. Hold on. Okay. I believe we left off, right after the last thing that we did at the, November 10th meeting was we had Beth Van Gutten's report. So the next item of business is discussion of KPFK financial crisis, 30 minutes. I think it'd be appropriate to add some agenda items, but since this is a continuation meeting, any change to the agenda requires a two-thirds vote or a vote by acclamation of the membership. I think it would be appropriate to add a few things. Does anybody want to be recognized?
Michael,
okay.
Mr. Chair?
I heard Michael first, and then I think I think that was Bella that spoke up.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Michael, you have the floor.
I would move to add consideration of the recent financial documents we were provided to the agenda today.
Okay. It would seem to me this should be the first item on our agenda, the current agenda has us at item 8. I would like to add this to item 8. Oh, hold on, I need to open up my Word document so I can start adding this. Okay. So how is that worded, Michael? How do you want to word this agenda item?
Consideration of the most recent financial documents we provided.
Okay, is there any discussion on this?
Janine, to the staff? I just wanted to add something to that item.
Well, I mean, this is a general item that...
Right, I just wanted to make sure that discussion would include what are pending documents that have been requested.
It seems to me it's a pretty it's a pretty general category. I can't really restrict people's questions. It would probably include that. How much time, Michael, would you say that we would need for this? 15, 20 minutes? Michael?
I was muted. I don't have the agenda in front of me. Where does it stand, the agenda that we're looking at today? You said item 8. What else is on the...
Well, you want me to read the... I sent out the final agenda from the November 10th meeting. I'll read what was on it. I said we had covered point 7, which is a report by Beth Van Gutten. The next item at that point, item 8, was discussion of KPFK financial crisis, 30 minutes. Point 9 had been Bella's motions. Point 10 was Michael Novick's motions. Point 11 was review of KPFK FY22 budget timeline, and then adjourn. So I've added in consideration of most recent financial docs as a new point 8.
This is Beth to the staff.
Beth, you're recognized.
Bella was ahead of me.
Okay, Bella.
Bella was ahead of me.
Okay, we have discussion. Yeah. We're in discussion, so, of Michael Novick's agenda item.
A point of order.
Point of order?
What's your point of order, Grace?
Okay. Michael Novick put forward an agenda, a proposed agenda item. Janine requested an addition to it, which should either be added to it at Michael's, if Michael approves, and we should get the wording for that addition, or clarify, she had a question, and that was, would her addition be incorporated automatically in Michael's agenda item? If Michael does not wish to accept that, then she would have to make an amendment or a substitute motion. But we have to keep to the motion that's on the floor, which is Michael's request to add an agenda item. And we have to figure out where he wants to put it on the agenda.
Right.
And okay. If it's going to be amended or not. So the discussion should be limited to that.
Thank you.
Okay. So this is Michael.
You have the floor, Michael.
Yeah. I'm okay with adding what Janine proposed, but I don't think it should be the first item on our agenda. I think that we should resume the agenda with what was going to be the first item, which is the financial problems, and then put it after that.
Okay. Well, discussion of KPFK financial crisis is allocated 30 minutes. At this point, is there any suggested modifications to Michael? You want me to move it after the discussion of the financial crisis? Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there any objection to doing that?
This is Beth. I'd like to discuss it.
Okay, Beth, you have the floor.
Thank you. When I first proposed a continuation meeting earlier this month and proposed this day to hold it, it was specifically so that we could review the most current financial documents available from NEDA as soon as they became available. And in fact, they became available last night. So as I understood it, my purpose in proposing this meeting was specifically to review those current financial documents at the earliest opportunity. So I would like to see that's prioritized. I thought we did take extensive period at the earlier part of this meeting, earlier this month, to discuss the crisis, the financial crisis. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle or cut off at the end of the meeting. Thank you.
The chair seems to think that a discussion of the financial crisis would be improved by the most recent financial information. So,
okay. Who withdraws and go ahead with it.
Okay. Is there any more discussion about Michael Novick's agenda item?
Mr. Chair,
Bella.
This is Alan Beek. Could you repeat what that is we're considering discussing?
Yes, Alan. Michael has suggested adding a new item 8 at the beginning of our agenda, consideration of the most recent financial docs from NATA, since that's our the source of our accounting. Bella?
Which was added.
Thank you.
Looking for.
What did you say? I didn't hear what you said, Michael.
Janine's amendment was to add the other documents we've been looking for.
I'm sorry, is that Michael?
This is Janine, if I can just explain.
You have the floor, Janine.
I'm fine with not modifying what Michael has as an agenda item as long as we touch on that subject at the end. Thank you.
Well, I would also like to report that I have invited Julie Kennard from NETA, who is the lead accountant on the Pacifica account. to this meeting to answer detailed specific questions about the financials. And she would be invited for about 30 minutes and as part of this agenda item to help to provide specific information for the committee. So I guess is there any is the only way we can add this agenda item is either by a two-thirds vote or by acclamation, which means acclamation is there's no objections. Is there any objections to adding this this agenda item to the agenda at this time?
What item are you considering adding to the agenda?
I'm not sure who's talking. I don't know who you are.
I think it's Alan Beek. Alan Beek.
Okay. Alan, you don't have an objection to adding this agenda item? Okay.
I don't know what you're considering adding.
I can't, sorry, Alan, I can't understand you.
I can hear him, Fred. This is Grace. Can I just respond? The
yes.
motion is a motion to add to the agenda at the beginning of this meeting to consider the recent financial documents that were provided by NETA. And added to that, we will have Julia Kennard, the person at NETA who's providing us our business services to this call to answer questions. Do you hear that? Is that clear, Alan?
No, it wasn't. But
okay, I'll repeat
it. I don't object unless I understand. I don't understand.
Okay, we're just going
Hold on, Grace. Let the chair. Alan, we're just adding an item to the agenda, and I'm asking if anybody opposes adding this item. Does anybody oppose?
I don't know what the extra item is, so I don't know whether I can oppose it.
Please, Alan, please, if you don't understand, please don't speak. I don't know what to say.
Mike Ice with an objection.
What's your objection, Mike?
Not an objection, but a consideration that by adding another item to the agenda, that by doing so, we are mindful of the time that the meeting takes.
I understand your concern, Mike, and I think you would probably want to add a change to the agenda that we have a time certain to adjourn at probably 5:30 or 6 o'clock. And I will consider that, but I'm a little bit frustrated since Alan's poor hearing and not being able to understand what we're talking about. I'm sorry. I'm expressing that.
Yeah.
I think I haven't heard any objections, so I'm adding Michael Novick's agenda item. Thank you, Michael. Are there any additional additions to the agenda? Our proposed additions?
Mr. Chair.
Bella,
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Yes, Bella.
You had me listed earlier, but somehow in the shuffle, I have been lost. I wanted to speak to the agenda, and I would like for people who do not know which agenda they are to be following. Are we following the last agenda of the last meeting, or are we following the November 19th or the earlier agenda, because this is a continuation meeting.
Can I clarify, Bella? This is a continuation meeting, so we're on the same agenda that we finalized at the November 10th finance meeting. And I sent that out. I sent that out as the package of documents last night. So people should have.
There was nothing.
Okay.
Did not see anything from November 10th.
I'm sorry, but I sent it out last night in anticipation for this meeting. Are there any are there any additions to the agenda? Michael Heiss, you wanted to set a time certain.
I was not allowed to finish.
Yes.
I have a party.
Bella, what additional information do you want? What additional information?
Okay, I wanted to know when will be the time that we can discuss where is this agenda for the 10th that you said you sent. Can you let us know what time you sent it?
Let me look in my email program and see if I can find the time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
While you're doing that, Fred, let me just answer. I leave the adjournment time to the discretion of the chair, but for goodness sakes, it's now 4:32. Let's try and be done by 6:32 and not waste time over stuff like this, but deal with the problems at hand.
I found it, Mr. Chair. I see it now. Thank you.
Yeah, I sent it out at 9:21 last night. Thank you, Bella.
This is Janine.
Who is this?
This is Janine. I have an item.
Okay, what is your item, Janine?
I asked in an email to just have everyone contemplate it that I wanted to add a discussion of decorum protocol at the top of the schedule so that we have a clear set of behavior guidelines. And that just has to do with, this is something that I think really needs to be addressed at a larger, you know, at the LSC eventually, but, you know, with a meeting like this, what qualifies, what are the steps and the protocols to muting when and what is considered disruptive, and will it be voted on by the body before someone's muted, that sort of thing. Because I think if it's at the beginning of the meeting, then we all have a clear understanding of what will transpire if somebody speaks out of turn.
It doesn't seem to me we need that, given the situation at the station and the financial situation, that right now that's a lower priority than getting this agenda established and operation. I've been very transparent about calling roll call and who's members and who isn't. In any case, as I said, we can only...
Can I modify it then?
Do we really have to go through this, Janine?
I just want to make sure that no one's going to get muted, because that was something that was done by the chair. I don't want to make a big deal about it, but I just want to make sure...
This is Grace. I have a point of order.
What's your point of order, Grace?
Okay, or point of information. In Robert's Rules of Order, the 12th edition, which is the most recent edition, in the appendix under the topic Sample Rules for Electronic Meetings, it says on page 640, Forced Disconnections, the chair may cause or direct the disconnection or muting of a member's connection if it is causing undue interference with the meeting. The chair's decision to do so, which is subject to an undebatable appeal that can be made by any member, shall be announced during the meeting and recorded in the minutes. So this is what, per the bylaws, we are supposed to be following Robert's Rules of Order, And this is, I believe that Fred has been following this protocol that's in the latest edition of Robert's Rules.
Not a point of information.
It was a point of order, actually.
Then let's follow order.
Okay.
In any case,
the other point of order is that there should be, if it's a matter of meeting policy, it should be taken up in the governance committee.
This is Janine. Can I speak again?
Janine, I'm calling you out of order because...
Why am I out of order for just asking to speak again?
Go. Because the chair is noticing I have muted anybody at this meeting. I would like to get this meeting going. But go ahead and speak, Janine, since you feel so strongly about this.
Well, I just would add, and we cannot have it as an agenda item, but just so that the people on the call know, I did receive an email from Grace pointing out that Robert's Rules, all of the Finance Committee did that as a response when she responded to my request for this. And there is also something that she forwarded to the LSB back in early November that has a different protocol where there would be a vote. If someone was ruled to be disruptive, there would be a vote from the membership on whether that person should be muted. So this is why I think it's important that we understand what the protocol is going to be. These have been very frustrating meetings. So I'm trying to ready and make this as smooth a meeting as possible, and that's why I brought it up.
Okay, can we move on? Okay.
Call the question on the amendment.
What is your... who's speaking?
This is
what's
Lena
your
Goldstone.
What's
I
your
call the question on the amendment.
There's no amendment present. We approved an addition to the agenda of one item. If there's no more addition,
and I'm asking for another.
Do we really need this, Janine? We have much more important things to do than discuss process here.
Well, I'm just saying that I was called out of order for asking for the floor. So I think that it's proper to just take a minute or two and maybe just hear from you how you plan on reprimanding people, what you consider out of out of order for somebody to be muted, and then explain how you would go about it.
Disturbing the meeting. Disturbing the meeting. Can we move on? Can we get the meeting going?
I'd like there to be a vote.
Beth to the stack.
Beth, I recognize you.
And Bella to the stack as well.
This is not what's on the agenda now. What's on the agenda now is determining the agenda for the rest of the day so that we can get on with the meeting. I'm quite frustrated with these meetings because every time people dilly away the majority of the time of the meeting, the business time of this meeting, so that we never get to the actual business. And for once, I'd like to, because we called this extra continued meeting specifically to cover the business, I'd like to get to the business. I think that what Janine has been bringing up is rightly the business of governance, and that's where it should be taken up. And I'd like to see us not waste any further time on this at this point. I'd like to see us get on with the agenda. Thank you.
Bella is on the stack as well.
Bella,
Grace for
Bella,
the stack.
Bella, you're next, and then Grace.
What?
Okay. It is very convenient for those in control of this meeting to do as they please. But when someone else that has been reprimanded asks for an utterly procedural situation, then you ignore it. And this is what goes on at this meeting, is that you and Grace and Beth seem to fully control this committee, and no one else has the right to ask for anything. Everything else is ignored.
and you may waste all the time, but when someone else asks to be heard, to add something to the agenda, whatever it may be, it becomes a very difficult situation. And frankly, it is very tiresome. If you go to the audio and you hear the audio of these meetings in the last 4 months, it's atrocious. Thank you.
Orders of the day, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Grace.
Okay. Thank you. I hear the frustration. I understand. I have been muted myself. It is very frustrating, and I do understand that. As there is a certain amount of desire to discuss this further, I suggest we put it at the end of the agenda, a discussion of meeting protocol, or whatever Janine wants to say. But give it 10 minutes at the end of the agenda if we get to it. I don't know what the last item on the agenda is. Fred, do you have that in front of you?
Yes, it's review KPFK FY22 budget timeline.
Okay, so after that, I'd like to, if Janine just can state the agenda item, I'd like to place it after that and give it 10 minutes. And let's move on.
Is that acceptable, Janine?
The reason I asked for it up front is so that we understand how this meeting's going to go from here on out. I do not mean to drag this out. I think it's very simple. I think that there's people on this committee that think that that the sole person deciding on who should leave the meeting and who should be muted, being just the chair, they have issue with that. So I would like to propose maybe we can just do a quick motion that we abide by.
Janine, a motion is out of order at this point in time. We're on the agenda.
All right. Well, that's the end of the agenda doesn't make it, doesn't give us rules to work with during this one.
Correct.
I'm titling it Meeting Protocol Discussion.
Okay, Fred?
Yes?
This is Grace. I just put an amendment on the floor. I can call it a substitute motion, and that would be to discuss meeting protocol as the last item on the agenda, and that'll have 10 minutes. And that's a substitute motion to Janine's motion, which would place it sooner on the agenda. And I think the proper thing to do is to take a vote. And if it's voted up, it substitutes for Janine's motion, and it gets placed on this agenda at the end. I understand Janine's point of view, but personally, I would like to get onto the financial crisis at KPFK and to the financial documents and discuss the governance later, not now. So that's my motion, to have Janine's motion be placed at the end of the agenda and after the budget discussion, and to have it be 10 minutes.
This is Janine with an amendment to the...
Please, are we going to have war by Robert's rules? Is that your agenda?
I hope that I can make a statement without being spoken to disparagingly. I would like to add an amendment that until we discuss the protocol, no one is to be muted on this call, if that's acceptable.
That's not, the staff.
That's unacceptable to the chair.
Bella to the staff.
Beth, you have the floor. I recognize you.
Thank you. I propose that until we get around to that discussion, we stick to Robert's rules. We have a set of rules. And rather than deter from them any further, I'd like to just propose that we follow the rules we have and that I consider any further pursuit of this discussion at this point to be dilatory. It's now 4:46, and we're on item number 2 in the agenda, which is to set the agenda. This has happened meeting after meeting after meeting, and it's the same people who perpetrated each time, and I'm done with it. I'm tired of that. We need to get to the meeting, to the business of this committee, which is finance. We have the documents everybody's been so eager to get, but somehow we can't even get that far on the agenda. So I move the orders of the day. Thank you, Fred.
Is there any hold on. The chair is asking, is there any objections to calling the orders of the day?
Bella. Bella objects. I'm on the stack. Janine objects, and I have a point of information.
Really? You could hardly know that. It seems to me that the amendment, Grace's amendment was the thing that we're going to vote on. I'm going to take a vote on Grace's motion, amendment to, put Janine's motion at the end of the agenda. Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed vote no. Alan Beek.
Alan B. quotes yes.
Thank you. Elizabeth, Beth Van Gooten.
Sorry, I have a distraction. I'll pass for the moment. Thanks.
Okay. Michael Novick.
I'm voting no because we wasted more time trying to get discussion than would have used having the discussion.
Okay. Okay. Is Lawrence Reyes or Recibo Rivas present? I have them absent. Janine, how do you vote?
I vote no.
Thank you. Bella, how do you vote?
No.
Okay. Grace, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ken, how do you vote?
Let me think about it. Yes.
Thank you. Sue Cohen-Johnson?
Abstain.
Thank you. Raymond Goldstone?
Abstain.
Thank you. Michael Heiss?
No.
Okay. Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson votes no.
Steve Kaiser's not present. King Riley?
King Riley votes yes.
Zuri Rideau? Zuri? Are you still with us? Okay. Maria Skelton?
I vote yes, and thank you.
Ruth Strauss?
Hi, I'm sorry. I got booted off from Maestro for a tiny bit. Can you tell me what I'm voting on, please? Sorry.
Grace Aaron made an amendment to move Janine's agenda item to the end. Our agenda for today.
Okay, I'll abstain. Thank you.
Thank you, John Wenger.
Abstain.
Okay. And the chair is voting yes. Beth?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's see here.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Oh, and Jonathan Markowitz?
Pass.
Well, you're at the end of the list.
Okay, this is to deal with this issue at the end of the meeting as opposed to the beginning.
This is an amendment. Correct. This is an amendment. Yes, no, abstain, silent.
Abstain.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella.
Yes, Bella.
Yes, this amendment will in fact nullify Janine's motion by putting it at the end. That's the
point
result.
Point of order.
What's your point of order?
You're in the middle of a vote. People can't take it back to discussion. When the vote is over, the vote is over. They can't interrupt and say, I'm going to make another point.
Thank you, Ken.
The discussion is over. You're in the vote.
Okay, I'm announcing the vote since everybody's either voted or not. The vote is 7 yes, 5 no, 4 abstentions, 1 silent. Janine's motion is moved to the end of the list.
Mr. Chair, it requires 2/3.
You're right. So it fails.
Orders of the day, please.
So the orders of the day is to proceed with the agenda as stated.
Fred, a point of order. The orders of the day need to be voted on. We're going to go to the orders of the day, I believe.
Okay.
Sorry, we're going through Robert's Rules Hell, but...
Point of order?
What's your point of order?
We can vote to end debate.
My point of order is that if the amendment failed, we go to the original motion, which was Janine's. We have to vote on that to see whether we're putting it on the agenda or not. It would require a 2/3 vote to go on the agenda, and then we can proceed.
I'd like to amend that. Can I amend it?
No. Oh, God. Thank you, Janine, for running out the time on this entire meeting.
Oh, please stop making me comments like that.
Yeah, Fred, that's out of order. Sorry, point of order. Can we just go to a vote on Janine's main motion?
To put
the agenda item?
Yes, we can. So, okay, Alan Beek, how do you vote? A yes vote is for Janine's motion. A no vote is...
Tell me what the motion is again, please.
Oh.
Alan?
Yes. Can Janine state it, Fred?
Yes.
Sorry for interrupting.
Alan Beek. Can you tell me again what the motion is?
Janine, state your motion.
Okay, that there would be a added item to the agenda that is a discussion on protocol and rule regarding the meeting. I'm willing to say that if we just agree to not mute anybody this whole meeting, then we can just let it go and we can just vote on that. I know that.
Hold on, Janine, where would this motion go? I mean, where would this item go on the agenda?
We would agree to it now as we go into the meeting that no one would be muted.
That's a prerogative of the chair.
Point of order. Janine cannot modify or take back her motion. It now belongs to the body, and it must be voted on as originally worded.
Would you please restate the wording again, Janine?
That we have an agenda item at the top of the agenda that solidifies the
protocols and rules that we are going to be working with on this meeting.
Thank you. I'm now taking
the
vote.
There's conflicting things in our emails regarding protocol. So that's why.
Fred, Steve Kaiser has joined the meeting.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, I'm taking a vote on Janine's motion. Okay. Alan Beek, how do you vote?
I vote no. I think it's too much trouble to put all that baggage at the beginning.
Thank you, Alan. Beth Van Guten. Beth?
No.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Janine Rowan.
Yes.
Billa DeSoto.
Yes.
Grace Aaron.
No.
Ken Aaron.
No.
Sue Cohen Johnson. Sue Cohen. Ray Goldstone.
No.
Michael Heiss.
No.
Steve Kaiser.
No.
Sorry, Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson votes no.
King Riley.
No.
Maria Skelton.
No, and thank you.
Zuri Redux. I'm saying Zuri Rudeau. Ruth Strauss.
I'm sorry. I think I'm average intelligence, but I'm not sure what it is we're voting on. I'm sorry. I am listening, but I'm still confused. What am I voting on?
No way.
Janine's motion.
To discuss protocols for the meeting at the beginning of the meeting. This meeting.
Abstain.
Thank you, Ruth. John Wenger?
No.
King Riley?
I voted no already.
I'm sorry, my spreadsheet malfunctioned. Jonathan Markowitz. Jonathan?
Yes, I'm sorry. I vote yes. Okay.
Thank you. And the chair is going to vote no. Let's see, is there anybody I missed? Sue Cohen Johnson.
Okay. Sue abstains. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Sue. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to announce the results. The vote is over. There are 3 yes, 12 no's, 2 abstentions. I'm sorry, there are 4 yes, 12 no, two abstentions. The motion fails. So,
call the question on the agenda as amended.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Michael. Would you repeat?
Calling the question on the agenda as amended.
Okay. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing no objection, we have an agenda. The first item is the consideration of most recent financial docs. Hold on a second while I invite Julie Kennard. So I sent out the September spreadsheet. Michael, you sent out some questions today. I'm just going to mention a few thoughts. If you listened to the National Finance Committee last night, I think some of the errors that you mentioned today in your email were discussed by Anita and Julia. The percentage numbers at the total percentage number at the bottom of, it's incorrect to total that, and they acknowledge that it needs to be fixed. That's the problem and an error.
Point of information, Mr. Chair, Bella here.
What's your point of information, Bella?
Can you repeat what you just said? Because it sounded like you were mumbling. Can you speak it clearly so I can understand?
Yeah, I'm adjusting my microphone, and I'm going to also adjust the volume.
Okay.
Am I loud enough, or do you... Because I don't have feedback on my voice here.
Yeah, there's an echo or something.
Well, that's different. Am I loud enough for everybody? I'm going to increase the volume a little. Okay. I'm waiting for Julia to call in.
I'm here.
Julie, would you like to make an initial presentation on the financials that Nita provided.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. I asked you a question. Can you repeat what you said before that needed correction? Can you repeat it, please?
Yes. Thank you, Bella. What I said is Michael Novick earlier today sent out an email with both questions and errors that he found in the consolidated pane on the spreadsheet for Pacifica, and I said that those errors were covered last night by both Anita Sims and Julie Kennard when the NFC discussed the financials. The percentage numbers on the are the total percentage number at the for some of the sections are incorrect. What was happening was the percentages were being totaled for all the individual elements, and that's not the correct way to do it. And that needs to be corrected. And my understanding is that they in the future P&Ls. That's going to be corrected. Is that a satisfactory answer, Bella?
Yes, thank you very much.
Julia, you're present. Would you like to start off a presentation on the financials? And I did send out the accounts payable aging sheet that you sent us today, shortly before the meeting. So I'll turn the meeting, I'll give you the floor right now, Julia.
Okay, I was not aware that I was going to be presenting the financials, although I'm sure many of you might think that's a ridiculous thing not to assume, but maybe we'll be more on the same page next time. One thing I can say about the layout of these financials is I think that there might be a better way to present them, but I think that's something that we're talking about at the national level, too, as far as some consistency with account numbers and the types of accounts and things like that. I've been working with Mikhail mostly on trying to really pull a very detailed budget together. We've gotten pretty far with that and hope to finish that the beginning of next week. Obviously, just to cut it short, revenues are in no way funding expenses at this point. And I think that's something that, Miguel has done what he can as far as trying to review contracts with staff and vendors to see what can be cut, what can be shaved, reduced. But we're not going to be able to make up these types of deficits with the types of cuts that he's been able to come up with. And he and I even discussed that today. So, hopefully, he's waiting on some staff input to get back to me about the schedule for the fund drives, because obviously that's going to drive a big piece of this coming year. And so in a nutshell, that's kind of a big picture view of how things are. We're still just getting started with the audit. I'm not even sure. I mean, I've been acting under the impression that the audit committee has gotten together and has engaged the auditor. I'm just going to continue with that thought because at some point the audit has to get done. But I don't know that has formally begun with the auditor because I haven't heard from them and George hasn't said anything about it yet. So these numbers are unaudited. And I know that some people had some questions about some specific expenses. And so I worked with Fred on a couple of those areas. And, I'm just a straight shooter. There could be things that are misposted that we need to dig in and go back through and just make sure. And we'll be doing that as a part of the audit process. Obviously, one of the major changes is going to be with the telephone. That's going to take another month or so. Mikhail was reaching out to Brian today or tomorrow to see how far he's gotten with that. That was our biggest savings that we would be able to come up with. But right now, payroll is still, the major piece of the budget. And of course, that's always a tough topic of conversation. So, I feel like maybe I should leave that to Fred maybe to speak to as far as his conversations with Mikhail, if they've had some deeper conversations about really how to get things moving out of this difficult situation.
Maybe I can step in here for a moment, Julia, and note that there's an audit committee meeting noticed for Monday, December 13th. And I don't know what their agenda is since, essentially the audit committee and the National Finance Committee, have a firewall and we're not supposed to be talking with each other, but we do, of course, to some extent. and unfortunately, since the bad experience that Mikhail had here a couple of months ago, he hasn't returned to this committee to talk with us. And this would be an appropriate question to ask him, what he thinks the timeline is for getting some of the cutting back on some of these telecom expenses. there are problems, of course, with getting out of contracts, and there are termination fees, I understand, but I haven't seen the contracts, and the NFC hasn't seen the contracts, so we really don't know what some of the limiters on some of these fees are. And I would also note that KPFA had 3 years to restructure their telecom system, where we're trying to do this in as short a period of time as we can possibly manage.
Go ahead.
I'm finished.
What I can say about that is, one, the release to be able to start working on this, to fund working on this, was delayed a few weeks, and so that was just started. So we are a few weeks behind on that. It, of course, came down to, you know, what that was going to cost, because there is a little bit of upfront funding to be able to pay somebody to help us get through this. So Brian started last week. You know, originally when I had done a quick draft budget based off of more of history than actual detailed knowledge of different vendors and things, I had projected that we would be able to switch over by January. I doubt that will happen, but I would say that next meeting we'll definitely be able to confirm that. I know it's a priority for Miguel, and hopefully that would be done by February. But again, we just need to get some feedback from Brian. I know that Miguel and the staff that he has on site had a call, meeting, whatever, with to get their input about how to move forward with this. So, because they wanted to make sure everybody was on the same page. But hopefully, it's a priority now. I can put it at that.
Okay. Well, if you don't have anything more general to say, I think basically what we want to do is open this up to a Q&A session, and I'll take a stack.
Okay, this is James. May I be recognized?
Yes. James, do you want to be on the stack, or did you want to say something in addition?
I'll be on the stack. I think I was first, so it doesn't matter either way.
Thank you. I got Bella next. Anybody else?
Michael Novick. I have a simultaneous with the James thing. Michael Novick in the stack.
Okay. Next, anybody addition? Any additional people?
Mike Heiss, not for the stack, but to suggest that we institute a time for comments, please. I got the stopwatch right here.
Mike, do you want to be the timekeeper?
As long as we're over by 6:30.
Okay. I think we have 45 minutes until that's the case.
Point of order.
I'm sorry, I've got a little bit of cough here. What's your point of order, Janine?
It's Sue.
I'm sorry. What's your point of order?
Sue. I know it's hard, but can you mute while you're not mute your coughing while you're not speaking?
I'll try.
I'm sorry.
I'll try. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Michael. I would, I think 90 seconds is too little for a question. Why don't you make it, 2 minutes, okay?
You're the chair.
Thank you. From the candidates forums, we were only given, 60 seconds, and I just thought that was way too little. Okay. Anybody else to the stack? I've got James.
Yes, Ziri to the stack.
Ziri?
I got
you, Ziri.
Thank you.
Okay.
Janine to the staff, thank you.
Janine, yeah. Okay, I've got six people so far. I'm going to, James, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just be very brief. I just wanted to say that I informed Julia that she would not be making a presentation tonight based on information that I was provided from the committee. So I thank her for making a presentation anyway and being quick on her feet, even though she was not notified to prepare in advance. I do appreciate that. And the second thing is I just wanted to clarify, we had a conversation about this on the NFC last night. The anticipation, the sure anticipation, I should say, is that we will be reengaging Rogers and Associates for the audit this time around. The delay has been that they weren't paid. We have paid them now, so they are ready to start to work. And just a note, we had, as again I say, we discussed this a little bit on the Finance Committee last night. The way this works is normally an organization wants to stay with the same auditor for a number of years, like maybe 3, 4, 5 years, because they get familiar with the organization, and it reduces the cost. It speeds up the completion of the audit. And so we intend to do that. And then after that period of time, sometimes it's good to change who does your audit, maybe not with an organization of our size, but with a larger organization, just to get a new, fresh eyes on the situation. So we should be with Rogers this year, probably next year, and, you know, we'll see how it goes going forward. Thank you.
Jonathan on the stack, please.
Ready and calling on people?
Yeah, Jonathan, I got you. I'm sorry. I had myself muted, and I didn't know it. Bella, you're next. And thank you, James, for being brief.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine.
Good. Thank you. Yes, thank you very much, Julie Kennard, for being here. I appreciate the accounts payable aging report. It looks very different than the stuff we would get in the past, which I knew was completely incomplete. First, I want to ask James Fagerton. You know, we have always changed, Pacific has always changed auditors for the same reason that you mentioned, for the issue of conflict of interest. And we should have changed to another auditor. And that's how it was done in the past. So I'm concerned about that. Okay, moving along. I wanted to...
Is that a question to me? I believe that was in the form of a question to me.
Yes, 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 Sugerton, James. Hi, Bella
okay.
Here. Yes, thank you.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead, James.
Okay, Bella, yes, we do change periodically, but we haven't been with Rogers for that long. Our previous auditor actually fired us as a client because our books were in such chaos. So now we have an auditor that's familiar with the way we operate and getting familiar with our organization and our books, and we're still fresh with them. I think this is the third year we've had them, so we're still good to go with them, and as I understand from management, that's the intention.
Okay. Thank you, James. I already knew that. That does not really address the concern. That's okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Julie,
yes. Can you hear me?
I don't understand. What do you mean, Bella? That doesn't address the concern. I think I addressed your question exactly. What didn't I address that was your concern?
Well, there's an interest. There's a conflict of interest if you maintain the same auditor continuously for that long, 3 audits. And that should not be. You need the fresh eyes.
I'll just respectfully disagree with you.
The chair would like to provide one little piece of information. The chair was the chair of the Pacifica Audit Committee for 3 years, starting in 2012. And at that point in time, we'd had an auditor, the same auditor for almost 15 years for Pacifica. And when I was chair, we selected a new audit firm that year. Practice is varied and is complicated. Okay, the next person.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I have the floor. I have questions for Julie Connard.
Okay, Bella. Bella, go ahead and you have one. Julie one question. Go ahead.
No, I don't have to ask her one.
I would like to have my 3 minutes.
Alan, I'm putting you at the bottom of the stack right now. Okay, Alan? I've got you. Okay, Bella, you have the floor.
Thank you. So, Julie, I noticed that the front page, the KPFK known outstanding payables, just the front page, I see a total of what we owe unpaid to Central Services. And then I see unpaid August, September health owed to. So you seem to be separating the healthcare, and but they're being mixed with what we owe Central Services. So it's confusing. What is the actual total that we owe Central Services or the Pacifica National Office? What is the grand total? Is it the 265-744-79? And then that's one question. And then you have a note here, does not include unpaid Central Services prior to fiscal year 21. Some accounts payable invoices may be missing. I do not understand that, if you can qualify that. I have other questions, but no time. Thank you.
Okay, sure. I'll try to be quick with that. Okay, so if you look at the grayed out lines, I try to separate the subject matter. And so $82,605 is payroll that was funded through the national office that KPSK still needs to pay back from September and October. Then we have $31,295 that is was paid by P&O to keep us from losing the coverage. And so we owe the national office the $31,296 for health, August and September health insurance. Then we owe, for fiscal year 21, we owe $265,744 in unpaid Central Services. That does not include all the Central Services that is owed that was not paid prior to fiscal year 21.
Oh. Right. Well, what would you estimate that to be at, then, up to date?
You know what? I will go back and look. I honestly do not remember, but I'll make a note to check that, and maybe that's something Fred can send out to everyone if that's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Other question about the bottom, just let me answer one question at the bottom because I'm sure other people have that as well. This does not include Central Services, but some AP invoices may be missing. This was more important when I first started doing this because it was very challenging to figure out what was out there, what had been paid, what had not been paid, and just really finding the invoices. I think we're in a better place now with getting that together, so that's less of a critical disclaimer than it was a month ago.
Okay. Thank you, but needs a little bit more clear. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Michael Novick, you have the. You're up for.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I also appreciate the accounts payable and the other payables that you specified to us. It helps a lot. I did want to go on the record with the two questions I raised in the email because I did listen subsequently to the NSC and I didn't understand the answer to one of them. On the spreadsheet towards the bottom where it has total expenses in the KPFK tab. There's some kind of error because the total expenses for the previous year to date is listed as 909,800, and then you're showing an enormous variance of over $2 million, which is not correct because the 909,000 figure is wrong. It should be somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.4 million. So I don't know.
I see what you're saying there. So the 909,000 is a
yeah, I don't know where. Yeah, you have 500,000. The same 500,000 in central services should be added to the 2,932,000, mm-hmm. about 3.4 million the previous year. So I don't know how that error came, but it has to be corrected. The other question I had was on the cover sheet or the narrative that year to date revenue for KPFK through September 2021 was 11.8 million. Versus 12.4 million for the year to date of 2020, a decrease of 623,000 or 39%. And the 39% is not correct. And I didn't understand the explanation that was given. It's just the wrong percentage. It has no bearing to anything at all. So I think on that has to be corrected. I did want to ask, based on what was said earlier, that this was delayed because we did not get all the, you did not get it, NETA, all the stations reports due to consolidated. That held up the year end report for 2021. What, let me finish my sentence, please. I'm wondering if the same problem is holding up any further reports or when we can expect to see the financials for October of 2021 since it's now December. Thank you.
Sure. So I'm thinking the first part of what you were saying was more of a statement about the errors on with the percentages and those cells, correct? I made a note of that. And I was not on the call last night, but I will get with Anita and see, get her notes, and we'll get that corrected going forward. As far as the timeliness of the information, I'm hoping, you hear feedback?
I'm trying to deal with it.
Okay. As far as the financials, I had hoped to have them finished by today. That is just has not happened. I'm hoping to have them finished by Friday now. There have been some complexities with getting going with KPFK and having access to the information that I need to be able to accurately post the deposits. That's something that I'm hoping to be rectified. I do have one station that was just a complete hot mess of what was sent to me, which was worse than usual. So that's something that has caused a delay as well. James has been kind enough. I think he and Anita and are going to have a conversation because I thought that was going to get better, and it actually got worse this month. So I just haven't had a chance to reach out to James to suggest that he and Anita and I need to have a conversation about improvements that need to be made with how I'm receiving some of the information. But that is not a KPFK thing. The struggles with KPFK, it's just been still a little bit of the transition. But otherwise, their staff has been great in submitting information to me.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person I have on the stack is Michael Heiss. I think that's correct.
Yes, I just requested to be the timekeeper, so I have nothing to say otherwise at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Short and sweet. Zuri, Rideau, you have the floor.
Thank you. I have a statement and a question, please. The first statement is, I noticed that the PNB Strategic Planning Committee meeting and the PNB Finance Committee meeting has not been posted on KPFTX yet, and I wonder when is this going to happen because I noticed there's a lot of these posts missing. My second thing is a question, and this might be for Julie maybe. So on one of the last town halls, we were told that there were 3 grants for a total of $200,000 from nonprofit foundations for KPFK from 2019, 2020, and 21. And I have no idea, and it doesn't show in these financials we received, who had applied for them or what they were paid towards. Is there any record of this? Could you please answer that if you have information, Julie?
Sure. I can give you a partial answer and then follow that up with saying that some additional research will be needed to fully answer your question. I did go through the grant income for fiscal year 21 today with Fred. And, of course, he probably doesn't remember a lot of it, but I went through it in detail. One thing that I had actually addressed with the gentleman at KTFK this past week, coincidentally, was that I think that there are some items that are hitting that grant income account that should not have been hitting there. A lot of times, just because a letter says that it's a grant does not mean that it's a grant in the way that we typically would define a grant, where someone is giving us funds and with the promise that we will do something in return. For example, one of those is Schwab. Schwab has a program where they have donations that come in through their foundation, I believe. And it's a situation of whether, members or whomever make donations, but they do it through the foundation, through Schwab. That's not a grant. Now, they are granting the funds to us at the bequest of whoever it's their clients or whatever. But that's not really a grant. It's an unrestricted gift in this grant income. So that's some small pieces of that. I did identify about half of the $87,000 that we booked or that Barry booked for 2021 fiscal year is related to foundations. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there was not a promise that we would deliver some type of programming or something with that. So additional research needs to be done with that. There are also a lot of small gifts in there, $50, $100, that we need to determine, are they matching gifts, corporate gifts? Are they just one-off gifts? We're not sure why they were posted there. So, again, that would take some research. Does that help answer a little bit of it?
Fred, do you want to respond?
Fred's present.
He was muted.
Zuri was asking the question, so Zuri still has the floor.
I requested the floor. Can I have some time?
Alan, I put you on the stack already, Alan. Zuri, are you finished? Okay, the next person on the stack is Janine.
Thank you. Thanks, Julia, for coming to the meeting. We appreciate it, and certainly appreciate the aging report. I want to know if you're going to be here when we have our discussion, which we went back and forth about when it would be, but at the end of this reviewing our financials, that we talk about the other documents that we've been requesting, and I'm wondering if you're going to be here for that conversation. That's my first question.
I am not sure. I don't know. James, I don't know if James, if you have input on that, or Fred.
Yeah, let me explain. This is to the committee. This is a bit of an experiment, bringing financial people from NETA here to answer our questions. This is similar to what we had with the business manager, and I think it's quite useful. But again, we're sort of experimenting to see how this actually works out in practice. In the future, depending how this works, we may be inviting Julie back again, hopefully.
If you have any information. Go ahead.
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
What's your point of information, Bella? What's your point of information?
Was the question that Janine asked Julie has not been responded?
Well,
if she's going to be here for that conversation in this meeting,
well,
when will that be?
Well, first of all, Jean has a point on the agenda, so I believe. So that's supposed to cover that.
Well, it's actually part of this conversation at the end, and so I didn't want to waste time discussing it in this, but I will be referring to what I sent. So I'll just listen. I'll do my best to give it 2 minutes. One of the things 2 years ago, Julia, we asked for additional documents, which along with everything else was a trial balance and a general ledger. Trial balance would show all the liabilities, all of the payables, and sure, it would actually be a very detailed to all of the things that we are paying throughout the year. So because I bring this up because as I look at this, I'm somebody that looks at expenses in my work, and I look at these documents. And when I see, like, grant income, our year-to-date grant income is $87,000. If I had a general ledger, I could go back and see exactly which grants make up that $87,000. The same is true for when I see consultant fees at $25,000. I would be able to go in and see exactly what makes up that $25,000 or the $91,000 in professional fees, legal. I would be able to see that. I would be able to see the backup of all of this, the $16,000 in travel, et cetera. So I'm, you know, the payables that you gave us, even these, don't, I can't reference them because there's no chart of accounts, and I know that you're reviewing all that and doing a new cohesive chart of accounts for all of the stations. But I'm curious if we can get something to correlate that we can look back on. I think it would reduce our question and answer time, honestly. We could do our own homework. So that's my first question. I have a second one. Okay. Want me to respond to that?
The chair would also like to say something, but go ahead, Julia.
I'm aware of the list that you are referring to. I'm not sure where that conversation is on the agenda. If it's right after this, I would be more than happy to stay and talk about that because I do have some things that I think might make it less cumbersome for everyone to be able to feel like they know what's going on. If you
okay,
want to talk about that now, I can, or you can do your other question and talk about that during your agenda time. No, that's fine. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is the payables. It does show that the PR funding from October is there, and then you also have the PR funding for 12/15, but we don't see 11/15 in there, or we don't see the other payroll in there, and I'm just curious about that. You don't have to comment on it, I guess. I just wanted to point it out.
Nope.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that's because the station did not have to borrow for any of the other pay periods. These are just the pay periods that they borrowed from the national office and still owe the national office for. So they were able to make payroll themselves in the other periods.
Okay, great. And also, there's something I didn't understand. I know you talked about, I think you talked about the budget, but you also talked about switching over. So do we have a status on the budget and what is exactly the switching over?
Switching over, I'm not sure what we were discussing with that unless it was switching over to NETA and our accounting system. That might have been it. For example, the first couple of weeks, I couldn't give Mikhail a good AP aging report because we were partially in Great Plains and partially in MAS, which is the system that we use. now we're completely out of using Great Plains for accounts payable, so that's why I'm able to run a clean aging report for you. So that might have been what I was talking about with the transition as far as, like, getting information and things like that. And as far as the budget, Mikhail and I've had two multi-hour calls where I'm a detail person as far as wanting to know what's in a budget as well. I know a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just copy and paste. Oh, it'll be the same as it was last year. Well, I like to know who the vendors are, that type of thing. And so I went through that process with the expenses for every account with Mikhail over two calls. And it was lengthy, but it was good. And we had some very good conversations about that. And so he's providing some information regarding payroll. So we need to update the payroll piece because, again, that copy and paste and just saying, oh, well, it'll be the same as it was last year. You know, I like to do it by position. I'm new to your type of work. And so I don't know the ebbs and flows of the hourly staff when it comes to, oh, does that mean it's going to be higher when you have your pledge drives or community events, that type of thing. So I still need to do that. He and I are planning a call. I can't remember if I have a call on Monday or Tuesday, but we would love to think that we would have something finished next week. Again, we have kind of a preliminary budget that we did this summer, but again, was based off of sort of just historical experience. And this one, we're actually going through, we have a template that we're using to put in, you know, once he has finalized the pledge drive dates, the number of days, his estimated, you know, daily revenue coming in to figure out what that revenue needs to be to cover our expenses. Hopefully next week.
Thank you. Thank you, Julia. Janine, I'm moving now to the next person in the stack, Jonathan.
Yes, thank you. Julie, on the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee yesterday, Anita was on the call, and the subject came up, although it was a little bit kind of unclear how it was being dealt with, and I'm not sure about Anita's responses, but it had to do with the issue of the financial documents that are communicated to you from KPFK or any of the other five signal areas by staff, either the general manager or staff at the station, whether it's the business manager or anybody else that's assigned to the task through your proprietary system. What I'm concerned about is not only the information that's being sent to NEDA from each of the five signal areas, but in regards to your immediate, NEDA's immediate receipt of that information and or how it is processed or accounted for, whether it's for auditing, whether it's for, you know, each quarter's, you know, I'm not a bookkeeper, so I'm not familiar with all of these terms and different categories. But the point I'm making is that my concern is that in the past, regardless of whatever degree there has been appropriate functionality or effectiveness in regards to providing accounting information to the local station boards by each business manager and or the general manager, anybody that's taking care of income, expenditures, et cetera, and other accounting information for each quarter's, you know, audits as well as, you know, anything else that's needed. You know, in the past that the LSB finance committees were always, and the treasurer of the finance committee were at least able to request and or be briefed by the business manager in regards to financial issues at the stations. And so my question to you is, why is there not at least the treasurer and as well as the finance committee members being apprised of all of this data coming from the station, as well as whatever data that you process? It seems like the LSBs are getting cut out now, and only the National Board Finance Committee members and the other national board members are aware of this data. And I don't see this as appropriate. Thank you.
Okay, do I have time to respond?
Go ahead, General. You have as much time as you need.
Okay. First, I would like to clarify the question and also state that, believe it or not, all five stations do things differently and submit things differently. There is very little consistency. And so I think that's a bigger picture thing that could be improved upon, that's probably going to have to start at the national level and sort of be pushed out. If you're talking about the information that is going to the National Finance Committee versus, for example, what would be coming to this committee, is that what you're saying? And that you feel like, for example, this committee has not been getting direct conversation with someone like me or at this committee, and that the other stations are experiencing that same gap in information at the local stations, local finance committee meetings. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that as that is direct communication between you or any other NETA regarding the financials at the station directly to the LSB. But I'm also saying that in the past, the general managers and other staff that were dealing with this financial information at the station end used to provide information to the finance committees of each LSB.
Okay.
And it seems that the situation is no longer that way, at least at KPFK, since we don't have a business manager anymore, and that the general manager and maybe one or two other staff are inputting that data directly into your system. And there is no, it doesn't seem to be any of that information is being shared with our LSB finance committee. Thank you.
Can Fred clarify something here? As treasurer, I've never been involved directly in the accounting. I have communicated with the business manager when we had one, but the treasurers are not directly involved in the accounting. We get the reports from the accountants. That's why I wanted to clarify that point.
You're referring from the accountants, that being the national board accountant, or are there more than one national board accountants? I'm sorry, foundation accountants, or is there a separate accountant for each station in addition to the general business manager?
Even when the business manager was the accountant at this station, and I never directly got involved in the actual accounting process as treasurer. That's not the function of governance, to actually do the accounting. I obviously talked to that to the business manager, and I asked him for data occasionally, but I'm not involved in the day-to-day accounting. That's not my job function, or that's not the function of governance. My function is to do oversight of the process, and I've tried to do that. Julie, do you want to add anything to that? Because, I mean, you're...
Sure. And Jonathan, so what I'm hearing is that you just feel like there's a gap. And I think we're probably, Fred, you're probably thinking that he means more deeply of a gap than what he means. The way I'm hearing it is that it'd be nice to have someone who actually knows what's going on around, instead of more of the second-hand, third-hand information. The reason that hasn't been happening is a couple of things. You did have your own station manager. I haven't been asked to come to this meeting until now. I think that that's something that can be arranged. I will say I think there has been some hesitancy by NETA staff to participate in calls, because some have been ugly. This one has been fantastic, I just want to say. Like, best meeting ever. So I really appreciate that. If you hear that also from other stations, it is probably because someone has not been asked to be on the call. I do not know if you should have to ask that or not. I'm not sure if that makes sense. I don't know if that should just be a given that one of us is on the local calls or not. But I'm not promising that I can be at every one, because I do have a child that's still in high school, and if he's going to graduate next year, and if he's got a basketball game, I really want to go to his basketball game. But I think that there is the opportunity for more involvement, if that is helpful.
And I would just like to add that this experiment is bringing Julia here is an attempt to bridge this gap and to be able to get direct information on what is actually happening in the accounting process relative to our station. And if this works out, hopefully we can invite Julia back.
Correct. Yes.
So, Jonathan, I'm going to assume that we've dealt with your question. I'm going to now move. Next person on the stack is Alan Beek. Is there anybody else who would like to be on the stack at this point in time? And
this is my very brief additional question.
After Alan, am I on the stack now?
Hold on, Alan. I'm just seeing if there's any additional people. Michael, you say you'd like to be put on the stack again, a second time?
Yeah, very briefly. Yeah, briefly after.
Yes, Ziri to the stack, please, a second time. Thank you.
Okay.
Grace for the first time.
Okay, Grace.
Fred, did you hear me? Fred.
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me? This is Ziri.
Yeah, I got Ziri. Hello, I've got Ziri. And who is that who's speaking?
Okay, thank
you. Okay. So, Alan, so the stack is, this is the stack, and I'm going to end it at this point because I think we're running out of time for this. It's almost 6 o'clock. So the stack is Alan, then Grace, then Michael Novick, and then Ziri. And I'm going to stop at when we get to Ziri. So Alan, you have the floor for a question.
Thank you. I have 3 points I would like to make. First, since Pacifica is going bankrupt, there should be nothing discussed at these meetings except methods of getting more revenue in or getting less expenses out. We had a very good meeting about that last week. A number of suggestions were made on each side, and those suggestions apparently all went into a deep hole. Because I've seen nothing of them. There has been no meeting minutes that showed. There's been no indication that those suggestions were all forwarded to the National Finance or to the National Board. Somebody should take the suggestions that are being made and do something with them, because that's what this is all about. My second suggestion is that the function of a finance committee, of course, is to have adequate bookkeeping, accurate and timely bookkeeping. That's what we would like to do and we should devote ourselves to, but it is not important to keep us from going bankrupt. It does not produce more revenue, and nobody has indicated that they think we're going to get more revenue if we reform our bookkeeping. Yes, I'm in favor of reforming the bookkeeping, but it's more important to get money in and find where to stop the money going out. A third point I want to make is that if we're going to have that good bookkeeping, it's going to take cooperation between us and NETA, and there does not seem to be cooperation at present. And I think we should make a very severe effort to try to get National to put some pressure on NETA to have somebody who was authorized to negotiate with us so we can work together to come out together with a cooperative program in which we are getting the information we need to do our job financially, and they are not being overburdened with the necessity to produce things that they don't need to produce.
Alan?
Those are my suggestions. And I hope that we will be heard and we will not waste our time on things like reading the rules of order or our.
Thank you. Alan. Alan, you're at time, Alan.
Rules of nice deportment, things that don't get us anywhere with finances and expenses. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Grace, you have the floor.
Okay, Julia, from looking at the numbers, it appears that KPFK ran a deficit in fiscal year 2021, even with the infusion of a considerable amount of money from the PPP. I think there was some confusion we have to figure out how to budget ourselves for fiscal year 2022 and make some very draconian changes if we want to have our expenses meet our income, our projected income. How is NETA, in your opinion, going to be participating in this discussion of ways to improve income and decrease expenses? Of course, I know it's sensitive because most of the expenses that can be reduced are personnel costs. Are there any other avenues for reduction in expenses, maybe possibly having to do with health care, health benefits, or anything else that you know of? And basically, how is NETA going to advise us regarding things we can do to balance our budget this year?
Grace, Michael Heiss had some ideas along those lines about our communication costs.
Yeah, Steve, I'm asking Julia,
what
role NETA will have in this?
Okay. I can tell you the most I can contribute to this question is for KPFK, in that I'm very hands-on with KPFK. I don't have the same relationship necessarily, and I'm not sure that I guess I'm more of a detail person, and that tends to help in times of crisis of trying to figure out where we can cut back. I think the gentleman, Alan, made a good point. It is not just about the expenses. It really is going to be about the programming and what needs to be done in the various regions to get listener support and donations back up. As far as the expenses, you know, we've done a deep dive. I think healthcare is an issue for everyone, and unless we're willing to cut what we provide, that's going to be hard. Even shopping for health insurance does not necessarily guarantee that you're going to get anything better than what you have. And I think most of us know that. I don't know, and again, I'm new to unions, so I'm not even sure what options are available, if any, when cutting the benefits of that nature. So that would be something that I would have to speak to Anita about.
Okay, just to clarify, Julia, I was referring to KPFK. It's my understanding that Pacifica has received some loan money from the EIDL loan, which is a low interest loan, but nonetheless is a loan that we're going to have to pay back at some time in the future, and that currently KPFK's deficit, monthly deficit, because our income is less than our expenses, is coming from borrowed money from the EIDL loan, that's not a good situation. We really, KPFK is the station that's running the deepest deficit in the network, to my knowledge. I believe WBAI is also running a deficit currently. I want to know, is that correct? How much of our basically monthly expenses is now being covered by the EIDL loan money?
Not enough. as you can see by looking at this, we have a lot of – we're not paying our bills. So if we were, more of it would be funded by loans. But at this point, we're getting into a critical point where we're just not paying the bills, and that's going to become an issue, obviously. And the national office is not getting the funding that they need from KPFK, and they have this problem with some other stations as well. I will tell you that when I look at and I'd have to go back and look, but still, when I look at funds coming through the national office, even if it is the EIDL loan
which I think only a portion of that has come in, and maybe if I'm not confusing loans, there's the opportunity for more of that to come in. But I don't look at it from what, how can I say this? I don't look at it as, oh, that dollar went to cover this dollar. I look at what's in the bank account at the national office, and you know, when they're in the hole, everyone's in the hole. So, you know, they don't have the funds to be loaning a lot of funds to KPFK, even with the EIDL loan. So I know that doesn't answer your question. I guess no. I haven't broken it out as to say this dollar came from the EIDL loan and this dollar came because somebody paid their central services. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. I really thank you for being here and for answering these questions to the best of your ability. I just wanted to make it really clear to those on this committee that we are in really, really dire financial straits at KPFK. And Pacifica is not able, it does not have the money really to cover our shortfalls, as had been the case in the past for different stations that were running shortfalls. So thank you for being there and for being willing to answer these questions. It's much appreciated.
Of course.
And
you're very welcome.
We're going to have to figure out how to resolve this and get our income up and our expenses down. Thank you.
Chair, may I help answer that question? This is James.
James, I'm going to give you the floor because I think your answer will be useful. Go ahead.
Very brief. I just want to add that the EIDL loan, some of the proceeds of the EIDL loan were used to repay what KPFK had borrowed from KPFA to make their payroll. So a substantial chunk of money. I don't have the exact amount at the directly in mind at the moment. How much?
50.
But yeah, okay.
We didn't borrow. KPFK did not borrow 50. The national office borrowed 50. KPFK only needed to use, it was somewhere in the 38,000 or something like that.
Right, they borrowed a little extra.
It was for health insurance, not payroll.
Right, thank you.
Let's see, I think we have
Michael
Novick and Zuri. I want to mention we're approaching 6 o'clock and,
I'll be very quick. I'll be very brief.
Go ahead, Michael.
I just want to report also that, I think I just lost Lawrence Reyes was on the call with me for a minute, but he seems to have dropped off, but, he was, merged in. I had a quick question on the, income side. And we always had a question about the how the website income is separate from listener support. But on this annual consolidated statement for KPFK, there is no website income whatsoever indicated for September. I'm wondering if that was a lack of information or if it was actually zero or what happened there. On the ask the whole thing and you go ahead. On the expenses side, I noticed that administrative expenses increased by a third, and I'm wondering if you have some way to account for that. It seems to me that would be a place to make a cut, definitely, that could be made. Since I assume the administrative expenses are mainly in management, I'm wondering how it increased so much and how it could be cut. Thank you.
Okay. The quick and dirty on the expenses is that we had an additional $17,000 worth of legal fees that hit. It was more than that. It was 20. If you add August and September, that's like, what, $22,000 right there of legal fees. Our legal fees are really out of control. That's one of the biggest issues, but I'll leave that there. But that's something that needs to be understood. And from my opinion, going back up to the website income, there is no website income because, and I've talked to a couple of stations about this. It seems at some point there were local finance committees who wanted to understand what income was coming through the website versus what was, I guess, coming over the phone or through the office. I'm not sure. But at some point someone said, oh, they wanted to know what the difference is. I'm not even sure how long ago that was. I can say this, that when I spoke to Terry about it, he was not sure. He was not 100% sure how Barry came up with that number, I believe. Yeah. And this is what doesn't make sense, because he was under the impression that anything during, what do you call it, the fund drive would be considered website income. But that doesn't make sense, because, number one, you have website income every month. If I can get access to the right reports, I might be able to figure out what he was doing with that. Right now we're not sure how he was calculating that. And I can tell you that from the other station that I spoke to, I do not believe anyone is calculating that consistently. And I don't think that there is a report that someone could run that says, boom, that is that number. But that's my opinion.
So is that amount, Julia, being merged into listener support?
Yes, for September, yes. Because when I spoke to Terry, we just said it's not worth it. We just need to get it posted and move on.
Could Fred jump in also?
It's not missing.
Yeah, the Allegiant system breaks out website income from regular donations, and it's been a mystery some programs have website income, some programmers have website income, some don't on the Allegiant's reports. So it's never clear what that really means.
It's become a meaningless number because it's not, as you say, it's not clear where it comes from.
It's
all been merged into listener support.
Okay.
In September, it definitely has, but it's just not, I don't know that it's a meaningful number. It's not like back in the day when the website was first coming out and people started doing donations online. I don't know that it means anything. If it was your repeat customers, or what, I'm not sure what you refer to them as, but your repeat recurring donors, maybe. But obviously,
yeah, I'm saying my concern was that some of the previous figures might be inflated. In terms of what our total income actually was, if there was kind of double reporting.
It should be money in the door, because he was reconciling his bank statement monthly. Now, hopefully that bank statement was legitimately reconciled. I don't have any reason to believe it wasn't, because we didn't get dinged. He wasn't dinged on that audit last year, I don't believe, for any issues with the reconciling. So the number should be legitimate.
Bella, to the staff, please.
Bella, there's no more time. The last person on the stack is Ziri.
Those bank reconciliations were wrong. He did not know what he was doing, and he was carrying outstanding checks for years.
Bella, you're out of order. Bella, I didn't recognize you. You're out of order. Please desist. Ziri, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So, since Julie is still here, we were before actually interrupted because I'm sorry to say I was muted 3 times during this meeting. I was muted twice when I was trying to vote in regarding to the amendment, and then I was muted when I wanted to ask my second question to Julie. This is something I really don't appreciate. I don't know who can mute me. But this needs to stop. We need to really find a different way of dealing with each other. And so, Julie, back to the actual issue. I had asked you before about these 3 grants for KPFK from the last 3 years. And my question had been if you have any idea who had applied for them or what they were used for. And so do you have any recollection of this, or how can we find that out? Thank you.
Sorry, I had muted myself and didn't realize it. And I think that might have been what happened earlier because we were trying to get you. But anyway, I will talk to Terry and see if he knows about that. I'm not sure if you know who Terry is, but Terry is my main contact for a lot of questions at the station with regards to fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Terry Guy.
Some of the items that I saw, at least for this fiscal year, did not look like at least half of what was in the $87,000 that we have for fiscal year 21 does not look like it was money that was applied for. The other half, mm-hmm. which came from foundations, might have been applied for, and I can ask him about that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. It's now six ten.
Hold on. Information, Mr. Sirabella.
Hold on, Bella. I'm announcing it. It's now 6:10. It's 2 hours. We've been on the call 2 hours and 5 minutes. What's your point of information, Bella?
Can you explain to about the MEMSIS reports that Terry Guy can give to Julie so she can reconcile the deposits?
I have no information on the MEMSIS reports.
Just to Terry Guy. She can speak to Terry Guy about that for the deposit side, the income.
It's called a MEMSIS. What kind of report is it?
Yes.
MEMSIS.
The system is called MEMSIS. MEMSIS. And that's where Terry Guy prints out the reports that go to the accounting department monthly, supposedly.
Bella, you do not have the floor. And the other thing is that the MEMSIS system, I was under the impression, had been discontinued when we went to Allegiance. And I haven't talked to Terry Guy about this directly, so Julia would be more in the know than I am.
He gave me access. He was able to set me up with a login, but I don't think that when Allegiant set me up that they gave me the right permissions to be able to run the appropriate report. So I have emailed him about trying to get better access. But also I have a box of reports from Barry's desk that I want to look at and see if that will tell me how to better get a report. But thank you for suggesting that.
Okay, this is James with a point of order.
What's your point of order, James?
I'm not pointing this at anybody in particular. I've come close to doing it myself, but we should be careful about naming current or former employees and, or even describing their duties such that identifying them would be possible. We could try to make things more general when we talk about previous events. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
For liability.
In any case, I think we had assigned 30 minutes to this item on the agenda. The next item on the agenda was a discussion of the financial crisis at KPFK. And I don't know if we can actually get to that. Yes, Julie?
No, it's Janine, point of order.
What is your point of order, Janine?
Well, I thought there would be some discussion about the documents that we've been requesting, and that's why I was asking if she was going to stick around for some of that. It doesn't have to be long, but there's documents that have been requested by this committee that haven't been supplied for over 2 years that I've been on it. So, and it's not to say that it's anyone's fault. It went to the GM 2 years ago, but now we're dealing with NEDA and not a business manager here, so I would like to review it.
Well, I'm at the mercy of this agenda that we have, and the meeting is going beyond time. Julia, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say, was this Janine? I can't remember who was asking the question.
Yeah, that's me.
I'm sorry. Know this. We will make it a priority to hash out what documents should be going to the local committees. And we will not blow this off. I think that there are some things that that were requested in the list that I saw that is a great deal of duplication of information that might make it a little overwhelming to have all of it. But I think, even I can kind of type something up if that'll help Fred out, and he can send it out about, maybe a list of documents that it provided might give you the information you need without having all of that. For example, the check register versus having the general ledger and the trial balance detail. I mean, that's a lot of that information is the same. Even if we need to start producing the balance sheet, which we should have been doing.
that type of thing. I think there's some crossover of information, and I have a feel for what you're looking for. You want to know what are your outstanding payables, and I think good notes that come with the financial statement might answer some of those questions. But I know we don't have time to talk about it now, but that's something that we can make a priority to try to hash out before the next meeting.
Can I have a follow-up, Fred, so that we can put this to bed? I guess I just wanted to just make a point. Because the reason a general ledger and having this kind of detail is important for me, when I look at $97,000 this year so far going to professional fees / legal, and when I look at KPFA and they've only spent $48,000 in legal, I'd like to know I'd like to be able to look at why are we spending more money on legal than somebody else?
You have more lawsuits. You have more lawsuits. And I think, again, that goes to having better notes to the financials and maybe, you know, maybe a little summarized report that might come down.
If I can just...
And I think it's challenging.
No, I know.
Janine, also Janine, some of that information is restricted to the actual directors and not to the local station board. The treasurer's doesn't have access to some of that information.
A general ledger, certainly, you know, I'm bringing up legal, that's something different, but we could also look at consultancies, right? So that's also the same situation where we don't know who our consultants are that are making a certain amount of money per month. So a general ledger itemizes every single expenditure. And we did get this on a director's inspection for 2020, but we needed a director's inspection in order to get it. And that shouldn't be the case. We would answer a lot of questions if we would be able to look back and see what these numbers are made up of, instead of just getting notes. This is something that is really a very standard fiscal reporting system that you get a general ledger with chart of accounts so that you can refer back to the general ledger from this top sheet, because that's what this is. It's a top sheet to the general ledger. So I just, you know, we don't have to discuss it further, but like this is 2 years and we get a lot of attention for repeatedly bringing this up, and it shouldn't be that way. We all agreed 2 years ago. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Janine.
I'm just going to throw in as the final comment on that. I think that that's something that's going to have to come out of the national office. I will say in my 30 years of working, I've never handed out a general ledger detail report to a finance committee. I think that is unusual. If that's something that needs to be, I think that that's going to have to be something that comes out of the national because of the details that are in there, especially even some of the attorneys do not want their names passed out. So we can move on from that. And James is on the call, so maybe he and Fred can work to take that concern.
Thank you for exposing that, Julie. James, do you want to say anything?
No, I think Julie's right on point.
This is Janine again, if I could make another statement.
Does it have additional information?
Well, I just want to say that I'm currently managing two projects, and I see general ledgers on a weekly basis. It's how I know whether we're on budget.
But you're an employee. You're an employee.
No, I'm not an employee.
You're an employee.
I'm not an employee. Okay. Well, I'm not. So, you know, why don't we know the lawyers that are getting a certain amount of money? Why don't we know the specific consultants that are getting a certain amount of money? Why don't we know all the vendors that are behind these numbers? I mean, this is supposed to be a transparent process.
I would mention that some of that stuff is executive session material, and people keep on wanting transparency about things that we can't really expose.
Well, the LSC voted on it. We voted on it 2 years ago. The LSC did, not just this committee.
Doesn't matter.
So I don't understand why now we're not supposed to expect it.
This is James.
I think you're giving an answer. James, I recognize you.
I will take a short stab at this. I understand where Janine is coming from and wanting to know the details, but I think, as she pointed out, she was managing some projects, so she was getting the details from the general ledger that explained where every penny was going and in and out. So what we're doing here in governance as oversight is not the same thing. You know, that we have accountants and we have auditors who do that kind of detail that work with management, and the finance committees do oversight, which is a more general. We're not here to do the actual accounting. We hired accountants to do that. We're not here to do the audit. We have an auditor to do that. So, again, it's a differentiation between the function of management and governance.
So am I able to send questions to Nita through the treasurer about the details with some of this, like the $95,000, and I can get details on that? I mean,
yes.
I shouldn't have to do that every month, though, you know?
Yeah, you might not always be able to get the exact detail you want, but, of course, you can submit questions. Absolutely.
I mean, I have no...
Our professional fees went up 800,000%.
That's a significant oversight question for governance. That's a good example. I agree.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Or rather, 600, sorry.
I hear you,
no
Bella.
Okay. I just want to say for the record.
Bella, wait for me to recognize you, at least.
Oh, I thought you said you recognized me.
No, I didn't. Now I do recognize
Fred,
you.
Fred, John Wenger into the queue, and I'm not yet spoken.
Well, I'll add you to the queue, but I don't, you know. I'm adding you to the queue. Bill, you have the floor now.
Thank you, sir. Okay, well, what I see here, something has just shifted. The sand just shifted under our feet. Now we are being denied monthly, timely, transparent reports. Everything has now been turned over to an outsourced outfit. We have no more control of anything. There is absolutely no reason why we should continue meeting. In fact, why not dissolve the so-called finance committee? If we are not to carry out oversight in the real world, because what you are saying, James, is that we should not be privy to detail, that we should be denied to detail so that we should be working blindly and just take someone's word for it. In other words, like Michael just pointed out some errors on these reports. When I hear the National Finance Committee, many problems, the reports are not correct. So what is really going on here? We still have a bylaws that I remember that has a purview assigned to each committee. And the Finance Committee happens to be the most important one. And we have a purview. We have a mandate. We have a fiduciary responsibility. I am an elected person to the LSB. I have a responsibility to the listeners. And I ran on a plank for transparency, timely reporting, above all. And you're saying that I should be denied. And I am a full-charge bookkeeper. So the people that don't know accounting are denying me the right to look at the detail, right? And this is not going for 2.5 years. Janine joined us a little bit over 2 years. It's going on for years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fred, may I have a point of personal privilege?
You have the floor, James.
Yeah, since I was called out by name, I appreciate that. I think there's an unnecessary cloud of suspicion that was cast by the previous speaker. All I pointed out was there's a difference between management and governance. The oversight that governance does is not always in the exact detail that management gets. Sometimes directors get that detail because they have a fiduciary responsibility, because they are even personally liable if things are going wrong in the foundation and they don't find out what it is. They can be held personally responsible. So, yes, it is exactly the fact that Bella or any member of the public or any other person who's not either a director or within management is going to be denied certain information. Examples include salary, legal matters, proprietary matters, et cetera. So, yes, there is a distinction, and it's a clear distinction, and there's no need for any cloud of doubt over it.
Is it my turn?
I'm done.
Bill, and Bill is done. John Wenger, you have, sorry? Who just spoke up?
John Wenger just spoke. He wants to know if
hold on, John. Hold on. I'm just trying to determine. I heard a woman's voice. I don't know who it is. Who's speaking?
Beth would like to be on the stack after John.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. John, you have the floor.
Yeah. I'd like to make three quick points. Number one is, Julie, I'm really pleased with your whole presentation, your demeanor, your approach, your attention to detail, absolutely first rate. I think it's really great. Point two is that since you have the tightest relationship with KPFK, this is a good thing for KPFK, because you're going to develop with your relationship with our membership director and the way we work, you're going to come up to speed more rapidly with us than you are with the other stations. I think that's a valid inference. And therefore, the process improvements that occur to you and our, and the KPFK community, will be, in the front of the, they'll be the first to be developed. We're going to be the cutting edge, I like the idea of being on the cutting edge. So, I encourage you to work with, can I just say, Terry, he's doing a good job here, with the membership department and the staff there to develop improvements in the process. Now, with regard to what those improvements might be, and this is going to address, James' concern, about the separation between governance and management. Well, James, that's all true, and I'm aware of that, and there's some comebacks with regard to the bylaws and some of the details and some of the historical precedent. But the fact of the matter is, as you know, the foundation is in dire straits. We're foundering. And so, and also the bylaws are continually being proposed to be changed. So there's problems with those bylaws, which set things up this way. But I asked Julie in particular, to be on the lookout for ways to improve this whole thing here, to find ways to meet the concerns of not just Janine, but the entire finance committee and Bella and the bunch and the rest of us. We need the granularity to know who the consultants are, because we have historical background about that. We want that detail, consultants' salaries are not sacrosanct. They can be made public, I believe. It's the employees whose salaries can be there. It would also be possible for us to change the way we do our procedures. We could make KPFK an open salary place. There are companies where every salaried position is made public. It doesn't have to be made a deep dark secret. We only keep it a secret because we pay them so darn little. It's embarrassing to them. If we paid them a decent wage, they wouldn't have to be embarrassed, and people could come in, new employees could come in, and just say, okay, my salary is public. I mean, the mayor of Los Angeles, the governor of California, their salaries are public. So, and KPFK supports the public good. We should make KPFK, support the public good and emulate the aspects of government with salaries are open. So with John, regard to, and just to finish up with James, can I just a couple more seconds? A couple more seconds to James. So James, I was asked this, that while you're technically true about the separation between management and governance, we should be very open to changing the way we do things in order to make things work better. And it's possible that reports with annotations will work, but we should try to improve the process because we're trying to save the station. And we've got 20, 21 people on this call trying to save the station, so you've got a resource here. Let's not shut it down by saying, well, we have a rule and those are the rules, and have a law enforcement attitude about it. Let's try to be open for process improvement. I'm done.
May I respond,
James,
Fred?
Respond? Yeah, please.
Yeah, very quickly.
Please.
I'm sorry, am I recognized, Fred?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll be very quick. I just want to say I don't really disagree with much of anything that John said. I think he's correct. I think we could develop new ways of doing things. It's just now under the current system, there's certain things that we could be liable for. And as we know from our high legal costs, we have tended to be a very litigious group. We get sued by our own employees a great deal. So we do have to be careful, but I agree there are ways we can open it up that we should.
Thank you. I like
it. I agree with John.
Okay. I would like you to be the last on the stack, because we're coming up on 2.5 hours. Please. You have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you. The bylaws were cited back here a couple speakers ago, and I just wanted to reference them. They're pretty concise. They say Article 8, Section 3, the Finance Committee shall review and recommend the annual budget for board approval, and shall monitor and report foundation financial activities at least quarterly. And the finance mission is to review and approve that station's budget and make quarterly reports to the foundation's board of directors regarding the station's budget, actual income, and expenditures. We've been debating just how much detail that should mean. I think that if the full range of documents that have been demanded were provided, it would end up costing us more than what we're already paying NEDA for now. I think that if we work with NEDA, if we cooperate with NEDA beyond this transition, we'll find that they are quite forthcoming and a lot better organized than we have been, and can help us get better organized in the process. And if interactions weren't so inherently contentious, I think we might get a lot further. So I'm going to take my guidance from the bylaws and the mission and proceed. Thank you. I'm done now, Fred.
Thank you. I had to unmute myself. The chair is willing to accept a motion to adjourn at this point in time. Given that the
I move to continuation meeting, please, to address the rest of the agenda.
You know, we don't have enough.
Take a vote.
Good night, all.
Can I finish my point of order?
What's your point of order?
We had to set another meeting. You said at the beginning of the meeting that there was a problem with the scheduling of the next meeting, and we have to set a meeting before we adjourn this meeting. Either a continuation or a new meeting.
Well,
let's go to Fridays.
Nothing here takes place fast or easily. The next finance committee meeting is scheduled for December 8th. And there's an OSB meeting a couple hours after that.
Yeah, that's an optional meeting. It's not a regular OSB meeting. It's a non-business meeting to orient the new members to the
bylaws and the committee functions.
Well, if things stay, you know, if we adjourn now, the next meeting is the 8th. We can't change that. And so the chair
There's
is going.
There's a motion on the floor to adjourn.
Yeah, it's not debatable. So, is there opposition to adjourning at this point in time?
Bella, object.
Then
we
have
to set a next meeting.
No, we need. This is not debatable. We have to take a vote then on adjourning. A yes vote is for adjourning. A no vote, a no is for not adjourning. Alan Beek.
He's already gone. He said good night.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Beth Van Gooten?
Yes, to adjourn.
Thank you. Michael Novick?
And abstain.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Not here.
Is he here?
Well, you said he was here for a while, Michael.
He was on. I merged the call. He called me and I merged him in, but then he dropped off.
Okay. Janine Rowan?
I'd like to set the next meeting, so no.
Okay. Bella DeSoto?
No.
Grace Aaron? Grace?
Yes.
Yes. Ken? I didn't hear that.
Ken dropped off, I think.
Been going silent. Sue Cohen Johnson. Sue.
No to adjournment.
No to adjournment. Okay. Raymond Goldstone. Raymond? Okay, Michael Heiss?
Yes, and if it seems like we no longer have a quorum, then I think this becomes a moot point. I regret I have to sign off in any case.
Thank you. Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson votes yes.
Okay, Steve Kaiser? Steve? Okay, King Riley?
Yes.
Zuri, Rideau? I can.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I vote yes to adjourn.
Thank you, Lawrence. I couldn't hear Zuri. Maria Skelton.
Abstain and abstain.
You abstain?
Yes, because I didn't hear the question, unless you want to repeat the question.
Yeah, we're voting on adjourning. We're voting on adjourning.
Oh,
no,
yes.
We are not voting on adjourning only. Mr. Chair, we are also voting to either postpone adjourning.
No, Bella, you are incorrect. Please stand down, Bella. Maria Skelton, I think you said yes to adjourning.
Yes.
Thank you. John Wenger?
Yes.
Okay. Ruth Strauss? Ruth?
Sorry, I was muted. Pass, thank you.
Well, okay, you pass. Okay. The chair is going to vote yes. Let's see if there's anybody else that I haven't. Alan Beek. Alan Beek. You think he's okay? Thank you. Ken Aaron. Ken Aaron.
You didn't call Markowitz yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, because he's not on. He's in a different place on my spreadsheet. How do you vote, Jonathan?
Jonathan votes no.
Okay. Okay. Let's see.
Chair, this is Lawrence Reyes. I'd like to change my vote to no.
Okay, Lawrence. Okay, I'm changing your vote to no. Okay. Okay, Raymond Goldstone. How do you vote? Okay, I don't hear Raymond. Ruth, how do you vote on adjourning? You passed the last time.
Yeah, I passed. Thank you. Whatever anybody else wants is fine with me. Can you explain to her what?
I'm going to put you on as abstaining then. Okay. So we have 8 no, 5 yes, 2 abstentions, and 5 silent. So we're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
No was to no adjournment.
No, I'm sorry. We're adjourned. And thank you so much.
Jonathan, point of information, please.
I'm thanking Julia Kennard if she's still on the line. Thank you so much. Jonathan, what's your point of information?
Well, the no vote was not to adjourn, and you just said the no votes were 8-5.
No, 8 yes, 5 no.
I'm sorry, I misheard. Thank you.
No, I heard the same thing.
Actually, Jonathan, Mark was heard exactly right. I think Fred misspoke. Fred, would you clarify how many votes there were yes to adjourn?
There are 8 yeses, 5 noes, 2 abstentions, 5 silent, 1 absent.
Okay, you misspoke, so that's why people are responding that way. So
right.
I agree. It's just
not at all. That's what I heard.
Good night, everybody.
I did not hear that.